Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, a Reiki Master Teacher. And today, welcome Lorraine Flaherty, author of Healing with Past Life Therapy. Lorraine is a transformational therapist and trainer and is the pioneer of inner freedom therapy designed to help people reach their full life potential, finding their way past the beliefs and or restrictions of the past to freedom and peace for mind, body, and soul. Hello, Lorraine.
Hello. Very nice to be here.
And to have you here. Lorraine, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, our guests and authors share their transformational stories as we seek to answer the age-old questions about who we are, where we come from, and where we return at the conclusion of our physical life. In other words, we search into the deepest part of ourselves, our emotions and inner being, to, I believe, rediscover the unity and oneness of universal energy. In today's episode, Lorraine and I will discuss our discoveries that we are multidimensional beings and offer the audience possibilities for healing and overcoming childhood fears, limitations, and traumas in order to create a more prosperous, abundant, loving, new reality, and also to discover more accurately the role of karma, soul groups, exploring past life awareness, and possible consequences for issues we are dealing with in this time and place, and also to begin to recognize we may even explore the future before it actually happens. Lorraine, please tell us something about your early life in England and your beginning interest in metaphysical or esoteric ideas.
Well, I think my spiritual journey began very, very early. I know that I was always conscious of other, I guess I would call it dimensions, although it wouldn't have been a word I used at that time. But I knew there was more to life than the information that I was giving or being given, particularly from my quite strict and very set Catholic upbringing. And I think it's probably very relevant that I chose to come into an Irish Catholic family, because being somebody that liked to ask lots of questions, that path meant that I faced many, many challenges, because I had a sense of the world around me as something that was supposed to be very loving and kind and gentle, and I heard stories about a loving God and a benevolent God. But the contrast was also that in this world I grew up in, that if I didn't obey the rules and if I didn't do what the priests were telling me and if I didn't follow the very sort of limited steps or the set steps that this religion provided, that I was going to get punished and that I was going to go to hell and that I was going to be there forever. And as an inquiring, a young inquiring mind, something about that just didn't sit right with me. It didn't make sense. So it meant that at a very early age, I started to explore more about what these teachings really meant. So I studied the life of Jesus. I also started to explore other religions.
Yes, Lorraine, I know you write that you studied the teachings, spiritual teachings, the Mesopotamians, the Essenes, Christian Gnostics, Jewish Kabbalists, Persian mystics, and the ancient Egyptians, to name but a few. And you discovered that many of the teachings of the Catholic Church had origins that went way back before the time of Christ. So this leads us to believe, I believe this, and I came from a Jewish background, and I observed the same things when listening to the rules and restrictions, and I knew that a loving God, the God that I spoke to at night when I prayed in my childish way, not taught by anyone, and the feelings that I felt as a child were not what they were talking about.
Absolutely.
And anything that separates us or gives us fear is not what religion should be about. So I believe, like you, that religions are pretty much the same, and that universal energy, or the essence of expansion and the universe, which we all are a part of, it shows us that we're having both a physical life and a spiritual life, And the way home, of course, is to know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where home is.
Yeah, and I very much felt that sense of speaking to God directly. And I felt that it was all around me. It was in the animals,
yes.
It was in the plants, it was in nature, it was in the other people that I was seeing. And it certainly to me did not seem as though it made any sense whatsoever for me to pass messages to God through a priest who
right.
was just a man. And in my experience, most of the priests that were around me weren't very nice. They weren't always the kindest, most loving beings. You know, they were badly behaved just as much as anybody else. And I remember thinking, well, why on earth, when I'm a child and I'm quite innocent and I know I haven't actually committed any huge sins yet, why would I want my message to be translated through you? It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
No, we know that the concept of sin and suffering is a man-made
yes.
concept used to control people.
Yeah.
And to, you know, we're here to have joy, health, prosperity, and always be in that alignment and connection to God and the wisdom of the universe. And we choose with our mind or ego or illusion to go into a state of suffering. It is not our normal state. And so you and I and people like us are trying to help others know that they can communicate and reach this divine state of love,
mm-hmm.
which is really what it's all about,
yeah.
by communicating privately.
Yes.
At any time with that higher essence.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go on to something else. Tell us a little bit of your professional training and how certain institutes in England, you know, I'm in the United States, and,
mm-hmm.
and things of, we are a little behind Europe in some of this understanding, these concepts. I know one of my own teachers was English, Robert Brown, an international medium,
okay.
and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But tell us how certain institutes in England support the concept of spiritual healing, energy medicine, past life studies, near-death studies, and afterlife information.
Yes, well, thankfully, I was very blessed. I was very lucky to have worked with some of the most amazing teachers. On my search, I kind of synchronicity led me to the right people along the way. I always trusted that would happen. And so my first steps into the field of consciousness was working with a guy called Richard Bandler, who created the field of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And I spent 7 days working with him, and it was only on the second day that I realized that hypnosis was a part of the training. And again, it was something that it was like I'd come home, actually, the first time I put somebody into the state of hypnosis, because it felt so familiar to me. And what was extraordinary was that it was answering all the questions that I'd had when I was doing my spiritual search about how do I get access to the divine essence within? How do I get access to the wisdom that all of these esoteric sides of the religions allude to? And as a result of that, I then went on to do a 3-year diploma course, an advanced diploma course in clinical hypnosis. And within that training, then, of course, getting access to the unconscious, I was then able to start exploring the ideas of accessing past lives and of course future lives as well, which you mentioned earlier. So once we're in that space, it is possible to travel within the realms of time and space. I
yes.
currently teach
That's very
clinical
interesting.
Hypnosis.
Yes, because you know, I also studied hypnosis,
but
I didn't stay with that. I've studied many different modalities and been attuned to several energy healing, but Reiki is really what opened for me the
yeah.
channels to this higher dimension and to downloading information. So it's as if spirit knows our
yeah.
path and leads us. They give us a lot of training.
Yes.
But they lead us ultimately to maybe where we're more comfortable or maybe where they need us to be. It's hard to know the difference. But I was very impressed with your training and the fact that you were in England where you had access to a lot of these people and things. And here in the United States, it was a little harder for me to find the right people. Now, you mentioned some great people. You mentioned Ursula James, Jane Roberts, and Stuart Pierce and Dr. Raymond Moody, who they have both been guests on this show, Stuart Pierce and Dr. Raymond Moody. And then you mentioned Milton Erickson, Carl Jung, and Edgar Cayce. And actually, I feel like the work that I do is in Edgar Cayce's, how can I say, arena, or or I am under his direction somehow. So I found that very interesting. Would you like to tell us about one or two of those people?
Yes, situations arose where I was able to meet with and work with many of these people. Stuart Pierce was somebody that I met probably 20 years ago when I was following a very different path. I was actually working as a hair and makeup artist at that point, and I was doing a lot of presentations and shows for L'Oreal. And he was a presentations coach. So we met there, again, very, very different lives. And then our paths have crossed again. And he was actually one of the first people to take me on a journey into my subconscious, into a kind of past life journey. And I'd gone to see him because I had this question about who I was meant to be and what I was meant to be doing in my life. And I kept saying to him, I know I'm supposed to be doing something else. I know there's something really important I'm meant to do. So he takes me on this amazing journey into this session, and I came away quite a little, almost a little bit frustrated, because I thought, well, that's incredible, but I didn't get any specific answers about what I'm supposed to be doing. The answer was kind of, it will unfold, you will, you know, it will appear for you, and I'm quite impatient, I wanted the answer. And I said to him, you know, why am I not being given an answer? And I'll never forget his words. He looked at me and he said, Lorraine, the answer is right under your nose.
He wanted you to find it, and he knew you would. But he did help you know that you had an Atlantean incarnation.
He did.
As did he on my show, we discussed that, and as did I.
Yes.
And as
yes.
did, I would say, many of the people on the planet right now who are interested in raising the vibration again. And he told you that you had been a teacher who used telepathy to communicate and used crystals and energy that could help educate mankind. And isn't that what you were born in this lifetime to do again?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, in the work that I do, so many people nowadays who are on the spiritual path are reawakening, and they're remembering that the lifetime that they had in Atlantis. They're remembering that they were part of a group that were working really, really hard to keep the planet in balance and to keep the energy flowing and to keep everything working properly. And so many are now realizing that actually we're going through something that's very similar right now, with energies that are being abused.
Yeah, what we have now is what they had then. We have two groups of people.
Yeah.
We have those people who are willing and wishing to work cooperatively, as you and I are discussing here, and to help everybody be comfortable within their own potential and not to be judged. And then there are the others who are abusing power and, through fear and greed, are taking more than the planet can support, and then they're entitled. So we have the same situation going on that was going on then, which actually destroyed that very beautiful and advanced culture. So we're hoping that this time around we can shift the balance and make sure that people become aware of what's really important, how to develop their intuition or their inner knowing, and how to communicate civilly with each other and to download the best of heaven and earth at the same time.
Yes.
Because we are only spiritual beings. So whether we're in a body or out of a body, we need to communicate in the most loving, kind, and compassionate way. But let's go on to telling the audience a little bit about your wonderful new book. I found it a very easy to read, very thorough, and you covered a great deal of history and what's happening right now in the field. So please tell us something about the book.
Well, the book came together because my clients' experiences were so extraordinary. Each session that I do, and I've done thousands of sessions now, and every single one of them is incredible. But not only were the stories that they were recounting in the sessions absolutely amazing, but the feedback that I got afterwards with the changes that happened in their lives, it was just staggering, really. And as I was sharing with people, as I was telling people, what I found was happening was that it was giving them a sense of how their life could change. It was helping them to make sense of the reasons why certain challenges came up in their life or why certain people would keep arriving. And even that understanding that these patterns, these experiences are there for a reason, that we've probably chosen them at some level, was very helpful to people, because I think it brought people back into their own power. They no longer felt like victims of the circumstances of their life.
Well, you are planting the seeds of truth about who
yes.
they are as spiritual beings.
Yes.
You are giving them the tools to manifest and create a more healthy and prosperous life. And
yes.
I have a new book coming out in May, and it's called The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And I like you, hope to show the reality and proof, actual proof,
yeah.
That many of us now know, which is consciousness survives physical death, and
yeah.
we are both physical and energy beings on a journey of expansion and evolving, right? And the only way we can do that is to let go
mm-hmm.
of some of the issues of our past journeys or lives. And that's what you do with past life therapy. You help people do that. And it's a wonderful thing. And I help people do that with the Reiki sessions, because
yeah.
a great deal of information comes in the reading that I do. And they somehow, on a deeper level, even if they're not totally in tune with some of the concepts we're talking about here,
mm-hmm.
they know the truth of it, and it helps them to release whatever pain or sorrow they have from whatever past traumas, either in this life or before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes that there is confusion as to why there needs to be so many different methods or so many different techniques for people to get access to this information. But what people have to remember is that everybody is different. And so one technique, which may not make sense to a person and it may not resonate with them, that person may need something else. So we have to have all of these different processes and all of these different means to get in there just to work with the various different people. And it doesn't mean that one technique is better than another or is more effective. And for
yes.
me, I really do think that people need to get that sense that
yes.
it all works
yes.
and that we should be working together, not against one another.
Right, absolutely. And in my book, I also say that we need a support
mm.
team. And a support team means all the different modalities working
yes.
together. It, as you say, a soul will choose perhaps what's best for them, or a person, a practitioner that might
yeah.
be someone from their past soul group that they must reconnect with for some reason. So I know your book provides evidence that past lives and reincarnation are real. Can
mm.
you tell us an example or tell us someone who documented stories from around the world that you talked about in the book?
Yes.
That
yeah,
show the reality. I mean, you know, we can talk about deja vu and dreams and all the ways that information comes into us from higher spirit. But there are people who are actually researching all these things to give proof. You and I are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Dr. Raymond Moody with near-death stories that he has documented for years. There's someone else I'm thinking of here that you mentioned that I didn't know about before. Dr. Ian Stevenson.
Yes.
You mentioned him in the book.
Yeah, and he was a university professor in Virginia, and he had been studying the spontaneous recall of past lives by children. And he, in the end, over a 20-year study, I think he'd found at least 2,500 of these cases that he had what he believed to be absolute proof that these cases were real, that these children had information that proved that they had lived before. And his team are still ongoing. They're still working and yes. And collecting the evidence.
I found that very interesting, and I have my own example.
Uh-huh.
When I was a little girl, I spoke in an English accent.
Wow.
Until I was about 4 years old.
Yes.
And now I live in an English tutor house.
Wow.
Both my children have taken courses and jobs in England, and one of my first teachers was international medium Robert Brown from England.
Right.
And many guests have been gracious enough to come on my show from England, and here you are today. So the connection, mine may not be ultimate proof as some of the other stories, but for me,
yes,
it's a connection that's
yes.
within, and that gives me great pleasure
yes.
to share. And I'm sure other people, if they think about some of the interests they have or some of the people they're drawn to or places mm-hmm. they travel to, will begin to realize that they had certain past lives in those places.
Yes.
Now, you also tell the story of a client who revealed a life as an Egyptian priestess who was murdered by an enemy group stealing her gold.
Mm-hmm.
And now in this life, she won't wear gold.
That's right.
It's a remembrance deep down within the soul and impressed in the DNA and every cell of the body that we carry from life to life with us. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And often people will have actual physical signs on their body, so people with birthmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I had a client today who told me that she had this quite a strange birthmark on the back of her leg, and almost like a set of sort of several kind of intricate circles, but they weren't filled in, so they weren't like large freckles. And in the session, she was a very small child who had been sold as a slave, and she'd been branded with a hot poker type thing, in the same way that they would brand a horse or a cow, and the brand had gone onto the back of her leg.
Well, you mentioned soul groups.
Yes.
And please give us a short description of what a soul group is, and does a soul mate have to be a member of your soul group? Is that necessary?
Not necessarily, no. I believe that our soul groups are a bit like our, I guess the comparison would be like our earthly family, so that we will have a group that we are fully connected with. And I guess if we're talking in kind of, spirit realms language, they would be souls who vibrate on the same frequency. So it will be the same resonance. It will be a group of souls that are all working on the same theme, working on the same topic. And those souls will be the ones that will usually volunteer to come down and work through the greatest challenges in life with us. And so our soulmates may be made up of our soul group, but they don't have to be. And I think that sometimes people get a little bit confused with the idea of a soulmate, because they often think that they just have one.
Yes.
And they're often just looking for the one.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often I think that there's a sense that if something isn't working, they think, oh, well, they're obviously not my soulmate, so I'm just going to move on and I'll wait
Absolutely.
Until I find the one, which I think is quite detrimental. And it's the wrong way of thinking, because soulmates are not sent to us to make life perfect or make life easy. Quite often our soulmates are the ones that are going to push our buttons, they're going to challenge us the most, because their role is to actually help us to grow, to help us to evolve and help us to learn more about who we really are. And so the people that are our partners or kind of in relationship situations might often even be from other soul groups, but it may be that they volunteered before we came down into the earth plane, when we were choosing the life we were going to live and the lessons we were going to learn, that they're going to have been the souls who volunteered, who said that they would help us.
Well, I think every soulmate, every person we meet is a soulmate, someone
yeah.
from us to learn from. But then we get to the question of love. And I like the way you gave a clear description of the four different kinds of love.
Mm-hmm.
Agape, philia, storge, and eros.
Yes.
And would you tell us something about about those different types of love? Because we are here to learn love in all its forms.
We are, and I think that one of the problems that we have, certainly within the, you know, the use of the English language, is that we only have the one word for love.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are so many different types. And so the ancient Greeks and in many other languages, they have different versions of love. So they have the familial love, and they have the friendship love, and they have the romantic love, and they have the kind of platonic love. And I think it's very important that we recognize the different forms that it can take. But of course, on the spiritual journey, ultimately what we're wanting to work towards is unconditional love. And many people who are on the search for love think that what they have to do is find somebody outside of them. They think if they find the right partner, if they find the right friends, or if only their family members would be better to them, that then they'd be happy. And for me, the most important thing is that we have to learn to love ourselves. Because without that self-love, we are constantly generating or sending out a message that there is lack or that we are in need. And of course, our partners are mirrors of what's going on inside of us. So when we're not healed and whole and loving ourselves, we're only going to bring in other people that are also not healed and not whole and not loving themselves. And then what happens is a game of, or a dance of, you know, one trying to heal or fix the other. And that isn't what a relationship should be about. So self-love first. Heal self, love self, and then I believe the right person can come in, because then we can attract somebody who also honors and loves themselves.
Yes.
And then, of course, love is about sharing and growing.
And that's what I believe we came here, why we're having a physical life,
mm-hmm.
to understand all these different ways to love,
yes.
and to be open to all the possibilities to grow. Now, Carl Jung, you discuss him, and he keeps coming up over and over in mm. each show that I do. He was a psychologist, the founder, like with Freud, of psychology,
yeah.
and investigated into paranormal phenomena. And he believed that coincidences had a deeper meaning, weren't random, everything
mm-hmm.
that you and I believe, but were events that happen as a result of a predetermined life plan.
Yeah.
So coincidences, we know they're signposts. They can appear in many ways, for example, in a piece of music, a snippet of a conversation, or reading a passage in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all these ways to look at our life and what's happening in our life awaken us to the true nature of our soul and physical life being combined, and help us find our true birthright, which is health, happiness, and prosperity. Not struggle, not suffering. Those are man-made conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose to bypass that and go yep. right to what our soul came to do. I want to thank you, Lorraine Flaherty, for sharing a most complete rendering of ideas and stories in Healing with Past Life Therapy, covering topics such as healing energy work, hypnotherapy, past life regressions, reincarnation, soul mates and soul groups, and a very clear way to realize the power of intuition and our soul journey, so we may begin to correct karma and create our best life now. For beginners or advanced students of metaphysical studies, this is a valuable book. For more information and to purchase this book, go to innerjourneys.co.uk. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Lorraine and I have shared our experiences into the science of hypnosis, psychic wisdom energy practices, and the joy of developing soul spiritual gifts as the means to eliminating fears, restrictions, and limitation for the purpose of enhancing, balancing, and refining our physical and spiritual lives. The conclusion is, as always, that everything is possible when we create thoughts and actions that reflect kindness, goodness, and acceptance of everyone as they are. As said long ago by Winston Churchill, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Lorraine and I, as seekers of infinite possibilities for soul development, offer our interpretation of life as we see it as an infinite source for creation and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to join me and my guests as leaders in the fields of science, spirituality, energy medicine, and alternative healing modalities, offer their ways forward. Go to my website, CherylGlick.com, or WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you very much.